Welcome to Talk Tennis, a podcast created specifically for you, the tennis fanatic. Join us each week as we work to elevate your game both on and off the court. We will deliver fresh episodes to keep you up to date with tennis trends and technologies, as well as exclusive interviews with industry experts, current and former pros, and so much more. Here's your host, Michelle.
Welcome to Talk Tennis. Thanks for joining me, Tiffany, Troy, and Chris.
Good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
Woo! It's a rainy Monday here at Tennis Warehouse, but we are going to do our we're going to do our rainy day vibes inside. And luckily, we have an indoor court. Sorry. But we're going to talk all about the 2024 Pure Strikes from Babolat. Get excited.
We're going on strike.
Before we get into it, I'm going to ask you guys each what your favorite tennis shoe of the moment is right now. So, Tiffany, we've been playtesting a bunch of stuff. What is your absolute favorite this moment?
We have been playtesting a lot of stuff, but nothing yet has replaced my favorite from 2023 is the Lacoste AGLT Ultra, which I think... it still has LT23 in the name, but as from what I understand, the next, it's the same shoe, but it's going to drop the 23 from the name. So it will just be the AGLT Ultra. Nice. It's just an all around really comfortable shoe. And yeah, it's my favorite go-to when I'm not testing shoes.
Nice. Troy, what you got?
My favorite recent shoe, one that we just tested, is the new Mizuno Wave Exceed Tour 6. I actually have it on right now.
Nice.
But yeah, super lightweight, comfortable, flexible, like no break-in, pretty good cushion for a lightweight. And then I'd probably say the other Mizuno shoe, I might actually like it a little bit more, the Enforce Tour, just because it's that stability type of shoe, pretty good durability, really good cushion, and just like more comfort focus for me compared to like a Gel Res or a Barricade. So awesome. I think they do that really well, the comfort side of things.
They do. Chris, what about you?
Gel Res 9 from Asics. Love that shoe. I've always been a Gel Res fan. This is the best one yet. And I really like it. Like, I like to rely on my shoes when I'm defending, if that makes sense. You know, and if I'm scampering around on the baseline or chasing down drop shots, more people seem to be hitting them these days for whatever reason. yeah, that's the shoe I want to have in my feet because I just feel really secure in it. They're durable, traction's good. Yeah, no complaints on that one. How about you?
Right now, this moment, I'm going to say the ASICS Solution Speed FF3. Ooh. We are about to film the review. They fit really nice on my feet. They're super comfortable. They're so light. I'm seeing a little bit, there's going to be some durability issues with these shoes, but right now I like putting them on and just like doing the day. If tennis is in there, that's great, but they're a good all day shoe.
Nice.
Cool. Okay. Well, now we got that out of the way. We can talk about the Pure Strikes. So for this launch, this was a long awaited launch because it's been like 3 years.
It's been a while.
Since we saw the previous ones.
Yeah, they're typically on a 3-year cycle. I think this would have been a little bit longer, maybe. Like the COVID year kind of added a year to their typical 3-year cycle at Babolat.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a while.
And then with this launch, we saw a Strike 100, a Strike 100 1620, a Strike 97, a Strike 98 1619, a Strike 98 1820, and a Strike Team. I brought a couple out just so I think some of these are the favorites and the outliers, but the biggest question so far has been, what is the standout model? Tiff, I'm looking at you. I know you play tested a couple of the hundreds. What stood out the most?
Yeah, I think, well, for just the fact that it is the newest, the new edition is the 1620, a 100 strike model. I personally found it to be closer to the 98, 16, 19 than the actual 100 in terms of performance, just because I think that the launch angles between those two were more similar, whereas the 100 gives you a little bit easier net clearance than the 98, 16, 19 and that 16, 20. The levels of control and feel are really similar between those two models as well. I think the biggest difference would be just, at least for me, was the way they were swinging through the air. I was getting really kind of a whippy feel out of the 1620 and way more stability plow through from the 98-16-19.
Okay. Troy, what stood out in your opinion in this line?
Probably the 18-20. I think, you know, I hadn't hit with the previous version of the Strike 18-20 in quite a while. And as soon as I hit my very first baseline, did my first baseline rally with the 18-20, I was like, man, this is a good racket. Like, predictable, solid. I usually play with like a 12-ounce plus racket, but the swing weight's already so beefy on it. Like, it played great in stock form. I didn't feel like I needed to customize it a ton. And typically another little issue I might have with 18-20 sometimes is the lower launch angle, kind of like what Tiff was talking about. And I felt like it was pretty spin friendly for an 18-20, not like, you know, crazy lift on the ball or launch angle, but it didn't seem to be an issue. So the 18-20 for me is just a really good balanced control racket and, decent pop to it too.
Nice.
So I also liked the 18-20. But there's one I liked more. But the 18-20, as Troy said, such a solid racket. It does bring the Babolat pace and spin that you expect from a Babolat racket. But it's got that control because of the dense string pattern. So, yeah, really, really nice racket. It was so close to that being my favorite. But most improved for the new launch of the Strikes, I think, is the 97, previously known as the racket, as the VS version. But now... they're calling it the Pure Strike 97. And the VS version, I really like that racket, but I had to string it with a multi, or I had to add some tungsten weight to the 10 and 2 just to beef up the tip of it. Because with a poly in stock form, it was just too noodly, too kind of collapsing up in the upper hoop and not delivering, as you know, the racket was fluttering and stuff. So now they've completely fixed that. I can play it stock with a poly. Would I add some weight still? Probably, just to give it a bit more plow through and pop on serve. But as is in stock form, dynamite racket, a ton of control and feel, the most control and feel out of all the Strikes. And I'd also take out the leather grip. So the leather, it's got a leather grip on it, which I love. If you're going to put an overgrip on it, you're good to go because you'll feel the bevels. But the stock leather grip, if you're just playing the leather, is too slick. It doesn't have any tack to it. And so I'd put a teed up private label leather grip on there. Hopefully we get them back in stock soon. And then all a fairway.
Yeah,
it's a really slick feel to that leather.
Yeah, it's not a good leather.
That was my only critique of that racket as well, and I thought it stood out. The improved feel was definitely noticeable from the previous VS, which I know I've used the word tinny feeling, so like really enjoyed this update. And it's like a racket that can swing fast, but still you can do so much damage with it, and it's stable, and yeah, that was the one that stood out for me, also the Strike 97, so... Yes. Okay. But I know there's so many more questions, and I'm looking back at Tiffany. Tiffany, you're going to be our expert on all things Pure Strike 100 today, because I know you really were in the weeds with these rackets. Biggest comparisons, and you kind of alluded to them not comparing maybe right away, but what did you notice about the 100-16-20 that did things better or not better than the 100? And like, if you're speaking to someone that previously used a Pure Strike 100, what are they going to expect from someone trying the Pure Strike 100-16-20 for the first time?
The 16-20 weighs 5 grams more unstrung. I don't think that it was super noticeable off the ground. My own personal Prince racket that I use is actually 305 gram racket, so felt really comfortable for me. I think that's just a little bit more control, a little bit, you're going to need to bring a little bit more of a swing to get the power, I feel, or the depth, really, because the 100 of the Strikes, I think, offers the most easy depth. I'm not going to say it's a pure drive or a pure arrow. Mm-hmm. You're not getting that level of power, easy power, but it offers that easier net clearance. So like if I was pushed off the baseline and I was looking to get back into a better position on the court, the 100's easiest to do that. But just that added little bit of control. And I would say, because this one is really quite head light, I think that the player who wants to play around with customization, I think there's a lot of room for it there, because the one thing I noticed at the net was that it wasn't quite as stable as, like, say, the 98.
Nice. Did you guys have a chance to hit much with it?
Yeah, so I was on the test for the 100. I wasn't for the 16-20, but I went back and hit it anyway just to be ready.
Yes.
To talk about it.
Thank you.
And I really like the 100. It's whippiness. Again, it's a racket I would beef up just because it's super fast and easy to get around. If you're looking to hit angles and a lot of spin, it's a great option to have. If you want to get a little bit more push through the court from the ball, you know, a bit more penetration, hit a heavier ball, I think just beefing in both of them up a little bit. Maybe the 16-20 a little less. That was my pick out of the two. Mm. I really liked the response from the string bed. I thought, you know, that launch angle was super predictable and just gave me a lot of confidence to really go after my shot. So, and again, I was getting good height over the net, good dip inside the baseline. So yeah, that was a fun racket. And that's one of those string patterns that I quite often like, whether it's, you know, whatever brand it's in, a Yonex or whatever, it's, it always seems to play pretty well. How about you, Troy?
Yeah, I think the 16-20, it's a good addition to the line. I was kind of going back to the podcast you did with the guy from Babolat at
Olivier,
B&B.
Yes.
Yeah, and he was just talking about how, like, this is more of the, slightly more of the player's 100. You know, mm-hmm. A little bit more weight, slightly more density to the string pattern, and then they also intentionally, Babolat made it softer, more flexible. So I think all those things together give you more of that controlled experience from the 100. I'm typically not a 100 square inch player, but I felt like I could still control the ball really well with this. And also too, it's a 16-20, but I still found it to be pretty spin friendly, because if you look at the actual string spacing, like the bottom cross is way down here, mm-hmm. So the string spacing still is pretty open. It plays, you know, like a lot of other brands, 16-19s that might be tighter, mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a fun racket to hit.
Yeah, good one.
And so we're saying how this one's nice and maneuverable and whippy, but there were some questions on the Strike 98 16x19 being a little beefier this time around. Can anyone speak to that? Or do we know specifically if it's just kind of specking out that way, or was this more intentional?
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to find on Babolat's site if the actual unstrung spec changed at all.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I did like the actual more beefiness to the 16-19, the around 330. I don't know what exactly we have for the average swing weight on the site, but I think it's around 330, below 330s. For me, that was a good thing. But I know some players that maybe used the previous versions or like the swing weight a little bit lower. I think in past versions, like the Project 17 was like a mid 320, low 320 mm-hmm. is more of the average spec on that. I don't know. I guess for me, it's fine. Some people, it might be something that kind of like steers them away just because they're like, oh, you know, I'd prefer a lower swing weight and beef it up or add weight if I wanted to. But that kind of is something that I would just add in. If you're kind of between the different rackets and swing weight is a factor or maneuverability is a factor, and you want to stay away from a 330 swing weight, I think that's where the 100 16-20 is the good addition, because the swing weight on that one is closer to 320. So it's mm-hmm. more, it's a 305, but it's more headlight. So the swing weight is significantly lower mm-hmm. on the 116-20 than the 98-16-19.
I mean, we're definitely seeing swing weights higher. This is the year of the swing weight. And I'm wondering if it's because brands are doing now just subtle updates. They've, you know, dialed in. The strikes were dialed in. These are even more so. And I think is it just maybe playing around with the feel, and there's some dampening technologies in there, and dampening materials tend to be heavy. And so I'm wondering if that's why, from this brand and other brands, we're seeing some swing weight numbers just bump up a little bit. But, you know, I still thought the rackets were, you know, I think if you're intermediate through advanced level player, which is probably most of the people that are looking at these, they still swing really nicely. I think they play really solid, beautiful feel at impact. And I really like them. And I think that's one of the things I enjoyed about that 18-20 too, was just how solid it was mm-hmm. when you hit the ball. And both the 98s have that going on.
Nice. We actually have chatted about this before, but there was a question that came up that kind of relates to the conversation we've had. So I'm going to read the question, and then maybe we can talk a little bit more about like the Strike's DNA and where it fits in the Babolat lineup. But someone was asking why have Babolat made the line more comfortable, but then they still feel like this is still not necessarily a control line of rackets? And
I don't know. They're very precise, I think. They're, you know, if you're looking for a control racket, especially in the 97.
Right?
Yeah, very controlled. Yeah.
And there's literally like such, there's literally a racket for whatever you're looking to do, whether it is be super precise mm-hmm. or more controlled or have a bit more free power. But we've talked about what the strikes do really well for Babolat. Maybe we can kind of like expand on that a little bit further and even compare them to like a pure drive and a pure arrow.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you want to hit with a lot of pace and spin, pure drive is a great place to go, and then pure arrow even more so for the spin. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're either one, really. They're kind of interchangeable in that regard. Just slight difference in feel between the two. And then these, you still get Babolat pace and spin on your shots. You definitely get those from the strikes, but there's more control here than, you know, I think if you got to go pure arrow 98 to try and get back some of the control you've got here from those other franchises.
Mm-hmm.
Pure Drive 98 too.
Give a shout out to, there was a lot of requests, and we'll influence Babolat as much as we can, but at the end of the day, we're not the ones producing these rackets. But a lot of people were asking for Pure Storm limited editions and pluses to come back, and they really liked that stiffness rating. So I never hit with those rackets.
No. Those were... Weren't they quite, they were quite flexible.
They were very low powered, yeah. A lot of feel, tons and tons of control, and then, you know, kind of a departure from what you would expect usually from Babolat, and yeah, lots and lots of control, really plush, buttery, smooth rackets. Is there one like that? No, the 97 is gonna get you closest.
And the Pure Storm ended up being the Pure Control, and then the Pure Control ended up being the Pure Strike, essentially, or no? Are they completely separate families?
They kind of, with the pure Storm turned into pure, well, the original, if you go back to like early 2000s, there was the Pure Control team. Mm-hmm. That was like Fernando Gonzalez and stuff like that. So that was like the original that kind of turned into a Pure Storm, which there was a small stint. They brought it back as the Pure Control, the Black Red. I think that was around like 2014 or something like that. And then they kept the racket around for a little bit longer when they first introduced Pure Strike as a family. They called it the original Pure Strike VS from the 1-7 line, Project 1-7. If you remember, they had a Pure Strike VS and a VS Tour. One was like 11 ounces. One was like close to 12.
Mm-hmm.
Those were built off the same mold, flat beam, woofer grommets. 98, 16, 20, those were built off the same mold as the Pure Storm.
Okay.
Yeah. The limited Pure Storm and Pure Control 95 was another frame.
Yeah.
That wasn't...
those are their own.
That doesn't have a lineage back to the original Pure Control. But yeah, it was a unique racket. The stiffness, I think one of the rackets, the Pure Storm Limiteds, it was like close to 57, 58.
Wow.
Flex, yeah, 95, 18, 20, thin beam. I know Spencer Bowler used to really like that.
He did,
Pure
Control
limited, because it was like a 95, 18, 20, but it had a low swing weight. It was like 315, 310.
Wow. People that like the Blade Tour like that racket, because that's another one, low swing weight, whippy, but with that really soft kind of plush feel too. And that one, I think, was a mid, right?
The, yeah, it was a 93.
Like, 93,
yeah. And the Pure Control 95, pretty close.
Yeah.
So I would say if you're like a Pure Control 98, Pure Storm 98, the 97 is really going to be a good one to try out. I think it, the new feel of this one, I think you'll be pretty happy with it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get a little bit more on your ball out of this, a little bit more crispness than you would out of those old rackets, but it is the closest one for sure.
Nice. Yeah. People will like that because I know that's, it comes up a lot. Speaking of rackets that are no longer, the Strike Tours are not in this lineup. I personally, so I think that it makes more sense to have that 16, 20 and 100 square inches than a heavier 97, which you can basically customize.
The Strike Tour?
Sorry, yes.
Yeah, they phased out the Strike Tour. That was actually the same. It was a 98. It was the same as the Pure Strike 16, 19, just heavier.
Just heavier, okay.
And with the last gen, the third gen Pure Strikes, we tested both the 16, 19, 98 and the Pure Strike Tour. And I just don't think there was enough difference, because it was the same racket, literally just like one's a 305 and one was a 315, 10 gram difference. Both had pretty high swing weights. So it was like I don't think they really needed both of those in the same family. If it was the same, it wasn't no difference in the frame. So I think now you could take the 16-19 and kind of add 5 to 10 grams to it if you really wanted that tour spec. Mm-hmm. But it already has a pretty solid swing weight in stock.
Yeah, you don't really need to do much with either that or the 18-20. They're super solid and come through the ball. I mean, I really enjoyed the pace and kind of weight of shot I had. And with this, the 100, when I was switching back to that one, I found I was doing everything I wanted with the ball, but it was kind of sitting, giving my opponent another look at it. Was with the 18-20, it just was through the court and giving him more issues, or they're not getting there at all, kind of thing. So,
and how would you guys compare these strikes to the head speeds?
Well, so the speeds, we've noticed high swing weights as well. That was the other brand, you know, I was alluding to. I think similar kind of updates. They've both, if you played the previous versions, these on both sides, both with strike and speed, expect, I would say, a more solid feel, a more comfortable feel, a little bit of the whippiness, crispness maybe going away. But I think really solid updates for both.
Solid is the word I keep using, too. Yeah. Maybe 2024 is the year of solid.
Well, yeah, because the trend on both of those lines with these updates is a little bit softer, more plush, and a little more mass, maybe not overall weight, but swing weight.
Yeah.
So that's going to feel more more solid and comfortable.
Okay, let's get into some more specific questions that were generated by a lot of our fans on YouTube and people tuning in over there. This is a great question. We kind of alluded to a Pure Aero 98 already. This person is demoing both of the Pure Strike 100s and currently torn between the Pure Strike 100s and the Pure Aeros. The question is, would you say the Strike 100 16x19 has a similar power level to a Pure Aero 98? How would the 16x20 strike compare to the Pure Aero 98? They need a little more free power and spin, given his age and playing style, especially on serves, but really like the feel and control of the strikes, especially the 16x20. Tiff, we'll start with you. Any opinions?
If when I hear I want spin on any shot, I'm thinking the Pure Aero 98 is going to get you there more easily than the Pure Strike. It's just designed for that, and it really does deliver on that aspect for sure.
My favorite bubble art racket right now is the Pure Aero 98. So it's tough for me to advise against that. Again, especially for the, you know, getting that pop and the and spin on serve and even on your ground strokes and stuff, that's just a great way to go. Plus, it brings some of the control as well, more so than you're going to get from other Pure Aero models. So for me, I would probably that one, and I would throw in the Pure Drive 98 as well as another option. And I would, especially for the power and spin, be leaning in that direction, because the control from that Pure Aero 98 is fantastic. It's a great racket. And these are good. These strikes are great too, but just that Pure Aero 98 really won me over. I don't know. Could have switched to it when it came out. I really thought long and hard about it, actually. But I just started using that Prestige Classic 2.0, and then the love affair continues with that racket. I've been working up with that racket when it came to market too. So, yeah, I'm still very happy with that one.
And Pure Aero 98 is a 16x20 string pattern also, correct?
Yeah, 16x20, but also, like I mentioned with this strike, the bottom, the crosses are really opened. Like, they really spaced them apart top to bottom. It's not
so
like
you're
the,
still getting...
So it's still a really spin-friendly racket. Like, if you compare that 16-20 to, like, say, a Head Radical 16-19, those are actually really tight, so... The string density actually plays more of a role if you actually look at the spacing than just the number will indicate sometimes.
Okay.
But power spin, go Pure Aero 98. The only thing I would give the benefit of the doubt to, like if he didn't say this in his question, but if he's had tennis elbow or like he really needs the comfort part too, that's where I might like slightly lean towards the strike 116-20, because it is a little bit softer, but that's not saying that the Aero 98 is like too stiff or anything. It's kind of right in the middle. But that's really the only place I would give that one the kind of the softer feel, a little more feel, but power spin and still great control. Yeah. Chris, you know, summed it up with the Aero 98.
Cool. Well, it sounds like you've got a new Pure Aero 98 to order today.
You will not be disappointed. Such a good racket.
Next question, and this is a good one because I forget sometimes to compare this line of rackets to the Percept. So let's talk, how would the two Pure Strike 100 models compare to the Yonex Percept 100 models, both the 100 and the 100D? This person loves the Percept 100, but they're not completely committed just yet.
Not just yet.
Definitely different colors, right?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the white and the like hot coral color. I'm not sure what exactly the name of that color is versus the green on the Percepts. I would say that the Strikes are going to offer you, these are like the most control based rackets out of the Babylon line. But in comparison to the Percepts, I feel like there's still going to be a little bit more free power, especially like if you're looking at that 100D, that 100D. It's a great racket, but you do need to bring your own power with that one in comparison. I feel like the Babylons are just helping out a little bit more in that department. So it's like, do you want to a little bit more help in that department? I think, and then on the isometric kind of head shape always has its own feel as well. But I think that would be the standout difference for me is just a little bit easier pop out of the Babylon.
Yeah, I would back that up. These are control and precision rackets, but with that Babolat pop to them. It's got that kind of Babolat hot rod feel that they get in a lot of their frames, whereas a Percept is just a little bit maybe softer feeling in certain models throughout their line, and then slightly more controlled.
Yeah, I mean, tennis is a confidence game, right? And you want to be feeling really confident, especially when you're trying to close out a set or whatever. And it's, what are you looking for? Are you looking for the racket to give you that little bit of help and when the spin and the pace department to give you that confidence to, you know, close out the points? Or, you know, are you the kind of player that maybe overhits and you want a bit more control added to your game? And now you've got a softer racket, a more, you know, lower powered response is going to let you chase the lines and chase the pace and spin with your own swing and power. And I think then you're in Percept. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference for me. It's like, do I want something that's going to give me like a little bit of help on the serve and I might get a weak return or an error or an ace? Or do I want to be like swinging big and going for the lines and trusting that the racket's going to let the ball just drop in? So yeah, that's what I would be looking at.
It's like when Chris goes from a Pure Aero 98 to the Head Prestige Classic 2.0, right? I mean, that's a bigger gap. But
yeah. That's a big gap. Yeah. Also, there is a question about the lack of an extended racket in this Strike family, which there hasn't been one for a minute. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Never been a plus Strike, you know.
I remember, you know, thinking, oh, if they brought out a plus length version back, like Project 17 days and stuff, and I was like, this could be an amazing thing. And Babolat, it's something Babolat do, you know?
Yeah.
They're not shy about doing plus length models, so.
Which one would you extend that will add to that?
I might do that new 1620, actually. I think it would be a really good one to have a longer option in.
Beef it up a little bit.
Yeah. They don't do Babolat doesn't do a plus in the Strike line. And Yonex doesn't do a plus in the Percept line of V-Core Pro.
Interesting.
Even though they do it in their other ones. But it would be interesting to try some samples and like do a test of some of these different ones with a plus added to them. If they were just going to put a half inch on the racket and not change the specs, I think you'd have to go with the 116-20 or maybe the 97 just based on swing weight. But if they were to like reconfigure the balance, and that would be where the testing would come in, because if you just added a half inch extender on the 1619 or the 1820, you'd be taking the swing weight up to like 350. So that would be tough to play with, you know, just based on that.
Yeah.
But if they were able to reshift the balance in the frame, then you could open it up to more opportunities.
Yeah. It'd be fun. Yeah. We're looking at you, Babolat. I mean, those white out 28-inch rackets are coming in over 350 swing weight. Not very manageable.
Yeah, I think that's the case where they just added or just gave us the longer-handed versions.
And what string setups did you guys love with these I know we've got specific stuff in there right now, but we also just launched a new color of, is it Hurricane? Yes.
Hurricane, maybe. RPM Hurricane, yeah, which is Hurricane
and
Tour.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And white, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I haven't hit it yet, but that would look great in these rackets for sure. And it's a string I've always liked. Ton of control, firm and crisp, my kind of poly. Yeah, it should be a fun one to hit in these.
Yeah. Have you guys, have you tried any multis in any of them, Tiff? I know you sometimes will, no.
No, just the RPM.
RPM, yeah.
And like with the VS, I hit a bunch of different multis in it. And then with this one, it played great with poly in it. So I just keep on keeping on, as you would say, Michelle. Just kept going along with the polys.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, try. Mostly tried pretty much all polys in these. Blast or the RPM Hurricane, RPM Rough. But I think in like some of the, you know, lighter ones, like the, say the Strike 100 or Team, something lighter in weight, I think the hybrids would be nice to try in those. Like the Babolat has the RPM Hurricane hybrid with XL, mm-hmm. or like a Blast and XL, mm-hmm. or if you really want to go high end, go VS Gut and Blast or something like that. That'd be nice in the lighter spec, I think, just for some added comfort, a little more pop, pocketing.
I was going to say also some feedback. We have a friend who loves the Strike 100 and knew she needed to get a new racket because hers are old. And she tried the 100 over the weekend and is sold, like absolutely loves the update, very excited about everything that's like, you know, because it's not too far from the previous version, but the feel's just dialed in.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think it's a really nice update. Yeah.
So just sharing that from an outsider perspective, because sometimes we're like, yeah, this is great, mm-hmm. and we get very close to the product, but I've been hearing lots of good feedback. Have I missed anything about the strikes that we haven't covered?
Oh, that's a good question.
Not that I can think of. I mean...
No, I just noticed the 97 is got Strike written in black,
black,
and the rest are the orange color.
Yeah, if you guys, we can link the episode, but the episode with Olivier from Babolat, he kind of like goes into the whole design process as well and how they kind of are creating a code for the players who play Strike to figure out, because these are sometimes more thoughtful players. That's why I don't use this line of rackets. And they're kind of like crafting their points with their first strike tennis and all that. So there's a lot behind the design out there that you guys can go and look at. It's not changed too much. So I think that's good also. It looks very similar. Still Strike.
Yeah, you still know exactly what it is as soon as you see it. And then I mean, the 97, as was the VS, is the kind of one that's the most different in its frame design. And they've continued that, you know, especially up by the tip. That's my pick of the litter right there. I like that one a lot. I would beef it up just a little bit. And I think it's, you know, with the lower swing weight, it's a great racket to do that with. And it's got the most control and feel out of the lineup. And so as much as I like that 98, great racket with the 1820, this is the one I like the most.
Well, let's wrap this episode up by chatting just a little bit about the pro players endorsing the Strike, because we had a really cool ad come out recently with Cam Nori. So who else endorses the Strike on tour?
Cam Nori, we've done some content with him, right? Mm-hmm. In the past. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Michelle, you fed some balls
to him.
On the women's side, there was, I think she's retired though now. What's her name? I can't think of it.
Is she
Lithuanian or something like that? Or Estonian.
What's her name?
But I don't think she's, on tour anymore. And then there was, Alize Cornet.
Contevet,
yeah. Annette Contevet. Yeah, I think she retired though last year, but she was holding down the Strike. Alize Cornet.
Contevet, yes, retired at age 27 due to a degenerate back condition.
Oh, that's
I remember hearing
her posting about her retirement, but
yeah. So not that many, like, there's not a ton of players on tour endorsing these.
Yeah, they
ones.
Had another bigger name on the men's side that kind of was coming up the ranks, but he switched to Yonex.
Dominic Thiem.
Oh, yeah, Dominic Thiem.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not thinking about it. I was thinking about Nakashima.
Okay.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, and then Dominic Thiem.
Yeah.
Is still using the endorsing the 1820, correct?
Yes. He's an 1820 user.
The team.
So hopefully he gets back. I mean, I didn't pop in my head right away because he's just not at the top of the game anymore, not on TV as much. But I know he's trying to get his ranking back and made a post earlier this year about, you know, trying to get higher up past that because he's been lingering around 100 or so.
Yes, you know, a lot of good players out there. Yeah. Always, you know. People talk about weak eras, man. That's I don't think there's ever really a weak era that the pros, you know, once you've, I think, taken some time off, it can be really tough to get back. And I think it was Pat Rafter was saying, when you've been injured, you don't have to get back over your injury. Now you have to get back to the new level because everyone's out there looking to get better and improve all the time, and they are doing them, and that's what they paid to do. And when you come back, you can't come back at the level you're at. You've got to come back at the new level, which is clicked up a notch. Yeah,
the game seems to get faster no matter what, if you're there or not.
There is another guy just came to mind. He's a young guy. I believe he was in the Next Gen finals last year. Mm-hmm. You can Google him. His last name is Shevchenko, which I remember because there's a UFC fighter, I think, with the last name Shevchenko. But he's a strike player, I believe.
He's playing Gasquet today. Speaking,
what do they say his rank?
Oldies versus youngies.
If you click on like his ATP
45.
Bio. He's 45 in the world, so top 50.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he's married to a player on the WTA tour who's also like top 40, top 50, Potapova.
Oh, he beat Rune in Rotterdam. That's his career best win so far.
That's a really nice tournament, by the way.
Rotterdam?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Let's see.
So he's a good player.
Yeah, he's definitely. And he plays, yes, he is 23. So he's up and coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Cool. We'll have to keep our eyes out on him. Out for him. Well, I think that wraps this episode up. Thanks, you guys, for joining me. Thanks for listening. And strikes are available to demo now. And happy hitting.
Thanks so much for listening. Make sure to rate and review this podcast wherever you download your episodes. And be sure to visit our websites for all of the tennis deals at tenniswarehouse.com, tenniswarehouseeurope.com, and tennisonly.com.au. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and until next time, happy hitting.